Good evening. I'd like to start tonight in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. After Stan's sermon on Sunday evening, I was encouraged to kind of keep studying. I had something already in mind, but it kind of helped to fortify it. And his topic verse, and that just happens to be kind of on the cover of this cover that I bought to the Bible to protect it. It says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. That phrase, men of courage, I guess it, for a younger guy like myself, I guess it kind of resounds more in that way of kind of stand up for what you believe in and really, really go forward to it. But the courage itself is something that I wanted to key in to and want to talk about tonight. Beginning in James chapter 4, I want to discuss in and look into as far as what it means to be courageous, and more so what it means to be courageous against temptation or against sin. A lot of the times we look at movies or listen to music on the radio or watch TV or things that just go around us, and there's become an acceptance of sin. There's become an acceptance of just evil things that really don't benefit anybody. We have a lowering or an acceptance of maybe of a sensuality or a sexuality that's present in just commercials that you see on TV, or you have again commercials of the beer companies and such, and they're promoting this good time and enjoying all this such, and which is quite the contrary, and really it really is very, very misleading. And then also, I mean, you have things like language, how language is very, very much deteriorated along the years, going from kind of from no cursing in shows to cursing to throwing in several euphemisms. Well, you're not cursing, but you're throwing in a lot of these different ideas that really take away from the purity of these things that God created to be a benefit for us. And for me, it's really annoying. It's annoying to see that, because it creates this sort of veneer of, oh, well, it's okay. It gives this acceptance to everybody, and it encourages the younger people as they grow up to say that, well, it's okay. It's accepted. It's been there before. It's going to continue to be here. It's okay. The fact of the matter is, it's not, and it's annoying to have that become the norm. Whereas the things that God's created should be the norm. This is the standard that we should live ourselves by. So, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires a spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And these next few verses are really, really interesting. Anytime I read them now. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Verse 9, I mean, be miserable and mourn and weep. Nobody likes to do that. I mean, I don't like to do that. Are you kidding me? I'd rather be happy and cheerful and joyful. But be miserable, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. That doesn't sound like fun at all. But when you read it into the context of pleasures, of lust that existed, well, then that makes sense now. You go on, in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. See, all these things that we have, that we've accepted, all these things, these evil things that we seem as norm, it becomes this sort of relationship of, okay, self-reliance. Well, I'm down, so I'm going to do this, which is against God's will. Or, I don't feel good, so I'm going to go do this. Or, this would make me feel better. This would make me, I'm going to do this. All of a sudden, we exalt ourselves higher than what God has deemed for us. Simply humbling ourselves and acknowledging that, hey, we need Him. We need God to help us. That's where the joy will come into. So, going back and looking at verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think about flee. As soon as I hear flee, the word flee, I think of the example of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and how she came on to him saying, well, come stay with me, and Potiphar saying, you know, how could I do this? I've been put in charge of Potiphar's household. He's kept nothing from me. There's nobody greater than me in this house. So how could I? And he's kept nothing from me except for his wife. And then he continues on to say, how can I then do this and sin against God? And I love how he puts it that way. That although he's got all this and he's been blessed by all of these through, you know, by Potiphar, you know, of course through God. He says, how can I then go and sin and do this sin and sin against God? And he always keeps it in perspective. And as he goes on, and as Potiphar's wife finally kind of catches him, corners him here, he flees, he runs. And this is where the courage comes in. Sometimes we think about running away and we think of it as cowardly. We think of running away and getting away from it as quick as possible. We think of it as something that a man wouldn't do. Somebody with courage wouldn't do. It's quite the contrary. I mean, Joseph could have given in. That would have taken much less courage. But for him to make the decision to run away, to get away, to flee, to get out of there as fast as possible, took a lot of courage. He may or may not have been tempted. I mean, that's speculation at that point. But can't we apply that to us? When we have our own temptations, when we have our own struggles or our own difficulties, and we have these temptations that confront us. To give in is so much easier. So when your boss may ask you if you took care of some certain paperwork, you could say yes, even though you didn't. That's a temptation right there. You know, to look at an inappropriate billboard as you're driving by. That's a temptation. But the courage to look away, or the courage to flee, or the courage to get away from it, that takes a lot more. That's a lot stronger. That's a lot harder to do in sometimes. But that's the courage that God seeks for us. Let's turn in James and go to James chapter 1. We'll finish with these thoughts here. James chapter 1. To keep in mind and keep in perspective where these temptations come from and how we can control them or where they go through. James chapter 1, let's begin in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. These temptations and these sins that arise, a lot of it we have to understand and take responsibility for. We have to be held accountable for what we do. And when we're not courageous and as far as staying away from those sins, when we're not courageous enough and we stay away from those temptations, and we're not lured in by our own desires, because everybody's desires are different. So when we stay away from those desires, that's when we finally start to see that courage. We finally start to grow and start to really, really progress now. And they may change. You may get better at one temptation, and boom, here comes another one. That's constant growth. That's constant strength. That's constant showing of courage. And we'll finish, and we'll jump back actually a few verses here and read verse 12. We'll finish with this thought. It said, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Finally, to those who love him. Those that have humbled themselves and have acknowledged God as their creator. Acknowledged God as their foundation. As their status quo, as their standard, not found anywhere else, not been lured by their own enticements, by their own temptations, and continued on there, but rather have stood contrary to those temptations and have stood for something good, have stood in courage, and have had courage to continue forward. If you feel like you've been drawn into the world, and you've really been taken afar off of where God has deemed acceptable, where it's not God's standards anymore. Now's the time to come back. whether you're not a Christian, and now's the time to come back to God and be baptized and be forgiven of your sins. Or if you are a Christian and you've walked away and you've gone away and you followed your own desires, now's the time to come back. If there's anything that we can do, if this is a call that you feel is ready, it's your time, it's ready, I encourage you, stand with courage. We all stand with you here. And let's go ahead and stand now as we sing.